All right, so we're joined now. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL with Scott Churchin and my good friend Steve Carney. By the way, Steve, I'll give you let you get the first shot. Okay, you can have the first shot. With the Buffalo Bills last week, take your first shot. Go ahead, because I know throughout the segment you're going to give me shots. So go ahead. I'll give you the first shot.
I'm not gonna take the shot because, you know, I think most of us were surprised and most of us were kind of flabbergasted that the Bills lost to the New England Patriots. I know I was. I
you
had
went
it.
The Patriots.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. Arizona Cardinals. Come on.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They should have lost to the
Been
Patriots.
Been a hard week. Okay, I'll let you go on there. Okay. So
yeah, do you want to spill that tea as well?
Oh no, I'm not spilling it that tea. All right,
okay, good.
I'm not spilling it. I'm saying people don't know that Steve Carney was here last week and said he wanted a PlayStation 5, and it's been a bad week because it's not been arriving and it won't be arriving till March. That's what I mean, Steve. What's
That's
wrong
awful.
With you?
Might
awful.
End up on fire anyway. I mean, with the problems that they've had, you know, with the ones with the PS5s coming out of the gate. You know, there's an overheating problem anyway. You might actually be catching a break there.
Let's All hope
right.
so.
Let's hope so. All right. Week 11 in the National Football League. Can you believe it? Week 11 underway right now. Arizona, team who beat Buffalo, whatever. And
they got lucky, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Like, if basically, okay, I'm going to, you know, I am not going to take a shot here. Steve, you obviously didn't. Props there. But it took a miracle pass that successful, if you're lucky, 5 out of 100 times to beat the Bills at home. So I know it sucks. I know it hurts as a Bills fan, but that's what it took for Kyler Murray to beat your team. A miracle.
Yeah, but it also took a miracle for Josh Allen to come back in the last minute and hit Stephon Diggs. What a catch by Stephon Diggs, you know? It's like one free agent guy overtops another one, right?
It stinks, but you got a lot to look forward to with that team.
Yes, Josh Allen, great quarterback.
Just shows you where the bar is in the NFL right now.
Wow.
Not with my team.
Well, that's
we'll get to that. We'll get to that one later.
Yeah, his team is the New York Football Giants. All right, Sunday, 1 p.m. NFL Blitz here. 6-point favorites. A good matchup. Tennessee, Baltimore. Scott, we'll start off with you.
All right. The first thing I want to look at right now is how is Derrick Henry going to factor in against the Titans' run defense? You know, right now, the Ravens' defense is a strong defense. This is going to be one of those really back-and-forth games that I think if they played each other in these same circumstances 100 times, 55 times one team wins, the other team loses. It's one of those really tight ones. You know, with a team like this, the Ravens right now are 7th in the league in sacks. The Titans, on the other hand, are 5th in sacks allowed. So that should, in theory, give Ryan Tannehill a lot of time to work with. That's going to be a huge factor, which can open up the passing game. Having said that, though, I still think that the Ravens are going to take this game. You know, they're a run-first team. The weather in Baltimore is supposed to be nice weather, unlike what they had last week. And I think they're going to take it. I think it's going to be 2019. But, boy, this is one of those coin flip type games. And we've got a couple in here that are coin flip. This is the first one of the bunch.
All right, Steve.
Yeah, I think being at home is going to be probably the biggest difference in this matchup. I think that Scott's right. When you talk about Derrick Henry going up against the Ravens defense, I think it's gonna allow for, you know, if you're a fantasy football player and especially one that plays daily, I would be looking at guys like Jonnu Smith and Brown. I think you have to look to the air as opposed to working on the ground with Derrick Henry. Not a very good matchup. Still five. I've seen 5.5 in places. I know you mentioned 6. I probably would not lay 6. I probably would take the Titans and the points in this one.
Yeah, if I'm laying the points, I'm thinking Tennessee. I think it's a 3.4 game, 3 or 4 point game. All right. Mo Peterson's Detroit Lions into Carolina to take on the Panthers. Start off with Steve.
You know, this one, it really depends on the running game when it comes to Carolina. You saw last week, Mike Davis struggled against the Buccaneers. You know, the Lions are not the same sort of defense. The other thing is here today, as we're taping this on Thursday evening, DeAndre Swift went into the concussion protocol. And so it looks like he may not play here this weekend. So that's going to mean, and with the Lions, you know, all of their weapons passing wise are all questionable or worse. You know, Matthew Stafford is questionable. Hockenson is questionable. Galladay is questionable. You know, they're all, you know, that is a banged up team. So, you know, I'm going to take the Panthers in this game and pick up the points.
I agree. Go ahead, Scott.
So in my case, I'm kind of going more or less in the opposite direction here. Stafford put up good numbers last week against a very stingy Washington pass defense. Carolina does not have that. Carolina, I looked into it before, they average 255 passing yards a game, which puts them really close to the bottom there. Bridgewater, I haven't gone back and forth on him. I haven't decided what to do. Carolina's defense will absolutely be better. You know, I mean, when they're going up against Matt Stafford versus Tom Brady and that that entire barrage over there, you're going to put up better numbers against a Lions team than you are the Bucks. Having said this, I think the Lions are going to take this one. I do not think it's going to come down to a 59-yard field goal again, but they are going to take it close, 23-21.
You're going to be wrong again.
Probably. All right. Feel free to rip on me, you know, whatever you want to do. That's fine.
Every week I do the predictions.
To be fair, you did say the Giants were going to lose to Washington, and they did not. So I can throw that one in here.
Didn't I say the Jets should beat the Patriots? They should have.
They should have, but didn't. I mean,
yeah. All right, you start. The Eagles into Cleveland. Cleveland favored by 3. Hopefully another monsoon in Cleveland.
Cleveland's going to take this game. You know, I think it's going to be one of those things that the Eagles' rush defense is not that strong. The Browns have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, who both did 100 yards last game. Chubb had 1.5 touchdowns, if you want to call it that, you know, running out of bounds at the 1-yard line on purpose in that one. Also, at the same time, the Eagles played a garbage game last week. You know, that was trash. You lose to the Giants by 10. That says something right there. Myles Garrett, I think, is going to absolutely feast on the Eagles because the Eagles have given up the most sacks in the NFL with 35. I think the Browns defense is going to have a field day with this. I think they're going to crush the Eagles, and I say the Browns take it 31-16.
Again, he's going to be wrong. Go ahead, Steve.
You know,
my big question, though, is which Mayfield shows up. But Kareem Hunt, I think Nick Chubb can even carry that.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the NFC least. you know, the Browns taking on the NFC least. And really, the AFC North is a very tough division. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the Steelers, and we'll get to the Steelers here in a little bit. You know, we talked about the Ravens. The Browns are above 500. And the Bengals, even though they're not great, you know, they've got the start of what could be a very good offense. You know, Joe Burrow, I think, is going to be a very good quarterback.
Agreed.
You know, so, you know, it's only a 3-point spread. You know, if I'm going up against an NFC least team, I'm going to lay those points all day.
Mm-hmm. Again, wrong. Upset, one of the
Oh, so you're going all Drew Ebanks. Drew Ebanks must be on his way out.
You said Drew Ebanks.
Why, Eagles? Why are you in a crappy division?
Because you said Drew Ebanks. I was going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, I'm going to go with an upset. The Eagles not only cover, they win.
Wow.
The NFC East is 2-13-1 against teams that are outside that division.
They win.
All right.
I mean, you
actually, correction, 2-15-1. I'm sorry, I have my numbers wrong. 2-15-1 against teams outside that division.
My favorite stat from earlier this year was involving Scott's quarterback there, Daniel Jones, who was 4-0 in his career against the Washington football team, and 1-15 against the. Now he's 2-15.
Two weeks ago. He's on a one-game winning streak against. Yeah.
This was 2 weeks ago. He was 4-0 against Washington and 1-15 against everybody else in the NFL. Of course, that one win was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that. But Steve, you'll start us off with another upset for me. New England goes into Houston. New England favored by 2. I'm saying Houston wins outright. Go ahead. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, the Patriots and the Texans. You know, it was funny. I was reading something earlier this week where, you know, you look at New England's schedule the rest of the way, and I saw somebody, and I'm not going to mention his name, but I will say that he does write in the Northeast and was talking about how, you know, this still the rest of their schedule still sets up for a possibility that the Patriots could be 10-6 this year, because you look at it after the Texans. Yes, they host the Cardinals, but you have the Chargers, Los Angeles, which I'm not really very big on, the Dolphins, Buffalo, and the Jets. You know, they're saying that they could win 5 of the last 6 and go 10-6.
They're not going to.
I don't think they are either. But again, this was a writer in the Northeast. What does that tell you, Joe?
That tells me that writer from the Toronto Star doesn't know nothing. All right. Okay, so New England, you like New England or Houston?
You know, I like New England in this one, but this might be the last time I pick the Patriots.
And once again, you guys are going to be wrong. Scott, go ahead.
Okay, right up front, yes, I'm going to be wrong also, because I'm going with the Patriots on this one. You know, they have a 2-game winning streak. Granted, they pulled that win against the Jets right off the tee. But the Texans run defense is the worst in the NFL. Damian Harris has been putting up better numbers as the year goes on. And honestly, the Patriots passing defense has been rushing the quarterback a lot more. I think the Patriots make it 3 in a row, 24-17. And yes, like I said, I'm already wrong, so I accept that, Joe.
Next, Scott. Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, 10.5. You know, they would need Sammy Guevara to win, all right? He doesn't understand who that is, Steve. Come on. But go ahead.
Well, I'm from New Jersey, so, you know, Sammy the Bull Gravano, I get that one. But in this – yeah, I was going to say thank you. I was hoping someone would get that reference. This is not going to be much of a match here. I mean, Steelers are going to take this one. The Jaguars' pass defense is third in the NFL. You're going up against Roethlisberger there. The Steelers' pass defense is solid. Their running defense has been the worst in the NFL the last 3 games. But the Jags are starting Jake Luton, and he's facing a Steelers defense that's number one in quarterback hits and number one in quarterback sacks. So the Jags are going to struggle in this game. The Steelers are going to continue being unbeaten, and they take it 28-13.
Right, Steve.
Yeah, I look at this, you know, being a 10.5 point favorite or whatever on the road, you know, normally I would say grab those points. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, teams that are heavy road favorites over the last 5 years have covered almost 70% of the time. And this is just going to fall in one. I mean, you just look at this team, you know. You should be able to find, you know, a touchdown difference in almost every facet of this game, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. I think you could find, yeah, this is at least a 2-touchdown game, if not more. So yeah, I'll take the Steelers.
All right, Atlanta, mm-hmm. New Orleans. Steve, you'll start us off. New Orleans favored by 4.5.
Yeah, this one's going to be real fun because, of course, no Drew Brees. The 5 fractured ribs and the collapsed lung. And, you know, Sean Payton really has not made any of his decisions official here. You know, I would assume we're going to see a lot of Jameis Winston. I would assume that you're going to see Taysom Hill in an enlarged role, either with Winston on the sideline or on the field with Jameis Winston. I think that he's going to be a big piece to this. You know, the Falcons are not intimidated being in the dome, but I still think that, you know, I wish this was 3. If this were 3, I would take the Saints all day. This being 4, though, this one might sway me the other way. And you know what? I think it is going to sway me the other way. I think this is a field goal game, and I think that the Falcons can cover.
Finally, Steve, you're right. Go ahead, Scott.
All right, so in this case, I'm probably going to be wrong. I will say it's going to be close, but I do think the Saints are going to squeak out the spread on this. Kamara had 3 touchdowns last week. The Falcons' pass defense is averaging 310 yards a game on defense. And granted, we don't know if it's going to be Winston, how much of Breeze is involved, but you're going up against a weak Falcons defense there. I think at the same time, Matt Ryan, he's having a decent season. He's only had 5 interceptions, but he's putting up, granted, 290 yards a game. But I've never totally honestly been sold on Matt Ryan. And I think the Saints defense, which is decent, kind of middle of the pack, should be able to contain him, contain Ridley, contain Jane Jones, and be able to win this game 26-20.
You'll start us off, and I'm telling you it's going to be another surprise. Cincinnati into Washington's football team. Washington's football team's favored by 2.
You want me to go? Okay.
Yeah, you.
I see Washington taking this one. You know, I mean, the Bengals have the second worst, or it's number 2, or basically the second worst in sacks given up. The Washington football team, I'm still trying to get used to saying that. That's still hard. Is currently 5th in sacks. I think Alex Smith is starting to improve. You know, he didn't have any touchdowns last week, but he did not have any interceptions either in 55 passes. The Bengals are decent, though, in interceptions, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But the Washington pass defense got lit up a little bit by Stafford last week. I don't see it happening again against the Bengals team. Burrow shows promise, but I don't see him winning this game. I say Washington 24-16.
Steve, what's Burrow's first name?
That would be Yosefi.
This is why I'm going with Cincinnati outright.
Okay, your namesake.
You know,
respect.
I look at, and I've said that Joe Burrow, I think, is going to be a very good quarterback. You know, not having Joe Mixon is going to be, I think, a much more detrimental to a young quarterback like a Joe Burrow than it is to, you know, an established quarterback. Like, look at Seattle. You know, not having Chris Carson, and the likes, you know, that doesn't affect Russell Wilson. Like, not having Joe Mixon affects Joe Burrow. I'm so happy for Alex Smith. You know, I think he's already the comeback player of the year. You don't even have to ask anybody about it. And, you know, I think that you look at what Terry McLaurin has did since Smith has taken over as the starting quarterback. I do think that Washington can cover this, and it's only a point and a half or 2 points in some places. I would take Washington and lay the points in this one.
Once again, both you guys are going to be wrong. Now, 405 kicks. Miami, 3-point favorites heading into Denver. You know what? I'm going with another surprise. Steve, what do you say?
You know, I look at what Miami has done, and yes, Tua has not been. I don't think Tua has been very impressive, but he hasn't had to be. And so I'm not a big fan of what the Dolphins or of what the Broncos, excuse me, are doing. I like Noah Fant, but really, it's about the only piece that I think has worked out this year for Denver. I'm going to take the Dolphins. I'm going to lay the 3 points. If you're only going to make it 3, I'm going to lay 3. I've seen it in a lot of places right now. It's 3.5, and I probably would lay that too.
Loser. Go ahead, Scott.
All right, so as another loser on this one, I like Tua's progress. He's had no interceptions in the last couple of games. The Dolphin defense seems to be increasing week by week, and right now, I mean, Denver had 5 turnovers last week. That is not going to happen again. But the Dolphins defense has mustered a turnover in every single game this season. That's a huge thing. I think the defense is going to hold it. I think Tua is going to manage the game, but I think it's really going to be the Dolphin defense that's going to make this game happen. I give it a Dolphin win by 3. Again, it depends on what the betting line is. I'm still sticking to 3 on this one. So whichever way it lands on Sunday, that'll be the way I end up going with it.
The Jets. LA Chargers, Scott.
Game of the week right there. Tell you right now.
My favorite, the Chargers.
All right. I am going to say basically the Jets are going to get their first win of the season. I like what they did.
This guy, I go for all games opposite, and now look. Go ahead, Scott. I can't.
I'm sorry for sticking to what my beliefs here. I apologize for that. But no, Flacco's improving. I mean, he had three touchdowns the that previous game before the bye. They took the Patriots right to the wire. I know that it's not the same Patriot team, but and I don't like to use this phrase a lot, but that was a moral victory, even though it was a loss. This is a team that came off a bye, that should help. I think Herbert's going to be a little bit better against the Jets, but I think the Jets are going to get their first win of the season and win the 17-13.
Loser. Go ahead, Steve.
You know, for once, Pasek, I'm apt to agree with you. I'm going to tell you a name. I'm going to give you a name right now that I think is going to have a huge day in this game, and that's Kalen Ballage. Remember the name, because he is going to run all over the Jets in this one. Give me the Chargers, even though I'm having to lay nearly double digits.
It's the Jets. Come on.
Hey, you said the Jets were going to win that game against the Patriots. So
they should have won. That was the game they should have won.
Hey, should have, could have, would have. Doesn't count to, you know, turn into a win there. I'm sorry.
And you know what? I'm going to bypass your turn now. Green Bay, Indianapolis, Indianapolis. Steve Carney.
This line is what in the Navy we used to call AFU. You know, this line is the wrong way. Indianapolis is favored in this game. No. You're going to give me points to take the Packers. Thank you. I'll take them.
Correct. So yet again, an upset. Go ahead, Scott. Prove yourself.
You're going to let me have it. Okay, cool. Thanks. Yes. I thought you were going to bash
yourself as not a loser.
Okay. Correct. All right, I am going with the Packers on this one. Let me start that one off. I do like this game. I think this is going to be one of those really good games, one of the best games of the year right now. The Indianapolis defense has the second lowest passing yards, and seeing them go up against Rodgers and Adams and the rest of them, that's going to be a really interesting match there on both sides. The Colts right now have really only faced one quarterback with over 100 rating, but I still see it being very, very close. And in the end, I like Rodgers over the Colts more than I like Rivers over the Packers. Most of the time. So in this case here, I will say that the Packers are going to take this one. I'm going to say 27-24. I think it will be close.
Correct. Cowboys, Vikings. Vikings favored by 7.5. Scott, go ahead.
All right. Vikings are going to take the 7.5. You know, Dalvin Cook had a weak game last week, but he is leading the NFL right now in rushing. And he is going up against a Dallas defense that's second worst against the run, averaging 157 yards a game. Dalvin Cook having those kind of numbers is going to open up Kirk Cousins to open up the passing game there. This is a Dallas team that is still soft. Andy Dalton's going to be coming back. What kind of an Andy Dalton are we going to be getting here? But taking the Vikings in this case, I think, is pretty much what most people are going to be saying there. And also, in my case, personally, I'm rooting against the Cowboys. I have to say it. So I say the Vikings take this one 34-20.
Correct. Steve Carney with his cat. Go ahead.
That's right. My cat Smokey is smart enough to know that you don't bet on the Cowboys right now. You can't bet on the Cowboys. It is just detrimental to your life to bet on the Dallas Cowboys. I love Dalvin Cook. I think he's going to have a monster day. Could we see another 200-yard rushing day from Dallas Cook or from Dalvin Cook? Absolutely. give me the Vikings. I'm taking I've seen seven in places that, which, you know, if you don't have to lay the hook, then absolutely take the seven.
All right, Sunday nighter, 8:20 p.m. Scott, we'll start off with you. The Kansas City Chiefs going to Vegas.
Yes.
To take on the Raiders.
The rematch.
7.5-point favorites, the Chiefs. Go ahead, Scott.
The Chiefs are going to get the revenge. You know, they're going up against a team that is the only team that beat them this season and the only team that picked off Patrick Mahomes at all this season. I see that team as a team that's going to be strong, ready, prepped, hungry, and coming off of a bye. You know, the Raiders defense is in the top 10, but you are going up against the Chiefs. The biggest thing that's going to sway this possibly in the favor of Las Vegas is the fact that the Kansas City rush defense gives up 4.8 yards a carry on the ground. Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker have to be stopped. Last week, they gave up they scored a combined 4 touchdowns. Kansas City has got to stop that defense. But if they can do that, there is no reason the Chiefs don't take this game. I say 27-18.
Steve.
Yeah, I think it's actually probably more like a 10-point game than even Scott thinks. As much as I like Josh Jacobs, I'm a bigger fan of the Chiefs defense. I think they can stop what Jacobs brings to the table, and I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be on a mission in this one. They call these revenge games for a reason, and you get 2 of them every year when you play in division. So I certainly think that this is probably closer to, I would say, 27-17. I think that's probably the right number to be at. So, I would lay the 8 points even on the road, especially because there's no fans in Las Vegas.
Almost correct. 30-17. Almost correct. Okay. Now, Steve, you'll start us off with the Monday Nighter, the LA Rams into Raymond James Stadium, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. By the way, Tampa needs to win. This is a very critical game for Tampa because next week, next Sunday, Tampa plays host to the Kansas City Chiefs. Mark and L there. All right.
Really?
Well, I'll tell you next week. You're going to come on next week. I'll tell you next week. Really? All right. So must win game for Tampa, Tom Brady, Gronkowski and all that. What do you say?
Next week screams trap game to me. For the Chiefs, they're so into revenge against the Raiders that I think that the Bucs may be able to catch them napping, especially because hey, we got fans down here. So
hold on, you're absolutely right. If Kansas City the week after doesn't play another team, a rivalry team at home against Denver. That's why it's not a trap game.
Well, I think it is a trap game because you've got rivalry game, and you've got the Bucs in the middle. So that screams trap game to me. So getting back to Monday night's contest, we've seen the Dr. Jekyll and the Mr. Hyde of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers so far this year. We've seen some incredible performances. I mean, they beat the living tar out of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And they got their doors blown off by the New Orleans Saints. It's 4. I wish it was 3. If it was 3, I probably take the Bucks. This is really going to the big thing for the Bucks is going to be how will the secondary handle the likes of Cooper Kupp and Woods. I really think that that's going to be the big. Can they get to Jared Goff quickly enough where he's not able to sit in the pocket and pick his spots when it comes to the passing game. They can do that. I think the Bucs can win, and I think that they can cover. So I will take the Bucs in cover, though I'm a little more reluctant that because it's 4 and not 3.
Correct. 24-20 for the Bucs. Scott.
Okay, I'm going with the Bucs on this one as well. The Bucs played like the Bucs last week. You talk about blowing the doors off. They blew the doors off Carolina. Antonio Brown put up good numbers, too. And I think if he's able to control some of the off-the-field stuff, I think he's going to be a good addition to that team. My question with the Bucs is, can they stop Aaron Donald? If they can slow him down, if they can keep him neutralized, there is no reason that Tom Brady doesn't open up that secondary. I do believe that the defense should be able to stop Jared Goff. I think they should be able to neutralize it. I'm going to go a little higher with this one and say the Bucs take it 27-17.
All right. Well, I said 24-20, so it's a 3-point difference. Doesn't matter.
So I'm still right in your eyes then.
Correct.
Okay, good. All right. Got to make sure of that.
So here, next week, for you guys in the States, both you guys live in the States, where former Orange used to be the president. Okay. By the way, Orange has called me personally, said I'm the president of the provinces of Canada. Steve, don't you agree with that statement?
Impeach Pasek.
Listen, impeach Pasek, not bad. All right. So next Thursday, is Thanksgiving Day in the United States. Traditionally, three football games. Two football games this year are really crap. Okay? Crap beyond crap. Houston, Detroit, 12:30. Who's going to be watching that? Steve Carney's going to play his PlayStation 5 then.
Going to be eating gobbler sandwiches from Wawa.
And at 4:30, even worse, the Washington don't even have a name, travel to Dallas to take on the Cowboys, where they're probably the worst they have been in the last 20 years.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with watching Dallas lose on Thanksgiving.
Are they going to lose to Washington? Yes. That's correct.
There is nothing more enjoyable on Thanksgiving than watching the star look all stupid. And that's exactly what's going to happen on Thanksgiving this year. It's going to make me so happy.
So you're saying Washington's going to beat Dallas?
Yes.
Agreed.
You are agreeing also, Scott?
I am agreeing.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go to the first game. Houston, Detroit. Sure. Who do you say, Scott?
You know what? I like the Lions. I said they're going to win this week. They won last week. I think they can do three in a row. You know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see. The Lions and the Cowboys, in this case, traditionally have played Thanksgiving. So there is, at least to a degree, a little bit of a mental history to there. I think Stafford's going to put up some decent numbers. I think Houston's not going to be able to hold this that well. I mean, what's the spread on it right now?
It's two.
I think Lions with the spread.
All right, Steve.
Yeah, I look, you know, if David Johnson is still in concussion protocol on Thursday, you know, who knows if that's going to be the case or not. But if they only have Duke Johnson running the football, I think that the Texans are in for a long, long Thanksgiving. And I would take the Lions in that one as well.
All right. Those first two games for Thanksgiving, Steve's going to be eating turkey more than Eduardo says gobble, gobble. All right. So delicious. Delicious. 8:20 game is the game to watch. Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Are there going to even be points in this one? It's going to be like 9-1. All right, Steve, you'll start us off.
I'll tell you what, even if it is 9-6 or 9-7, that would still make it a very fun contest. We're talking about a Pittsburgh team that may be looking to go 11-0. Let's be honest. They're going to be 10-0 looking to go 11-0 because they play the Jaguars this week, taking on Lamar Jackson and company that want to show why they feel like they deserve the number two spot. And remember that in the NFL playoffs this year, only one team gets a bye. So it in each conference. So, it's not so much setting up for a bye. But you're looking at trying to get the best of a possible second round match because you could end up hosting both a wild card and a divisional playoff round if you are the number two seed. And that's what they're looking for. Baltimore wants that spot, and they have to keep winning to try and get close to the Steelers or the Steelers and to Kansas City.
All right, Scott.
I agree. I think in this particular case, one thing I will say that I think is a little bit different is I think this is going to be a little bit of a higher scoring game because it is played on a Thursday. You know, one of the things that I've always noticed, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong, but Thursday night games are usually as the game goes on, you have a defense that's tired because you have shorter rest. I think that's going to play a factor as far as the Ravens defense is going to go. And I think Roethlisberger is going to take advantage of it late third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. And I can see this game scoring maybe 42, 45 points between them.
Wow.
But I say the Steelers take it anyway, though.
Okay, so those are Thursday nights. That's this week in NFL week 11. We start at week 12. Now, I got to ask Steve one second here. All right, Steve, we haven't talked wrestling in a little while, all right?
Mostly because I haven't had a chance to watch a whole lot of wrestling in a while.
No, but you're going to have I'm going to announce this to the world right now. All right, Steve? I'm going to announce this to the world. Beginning December 11th, the Thunderdome now will be the Orange Dome because the Tropicana Field will be hosting WWE Wrestling SmackDown, nice. Raw, pay-per-views and all that. Steve Carney, How do you like to be? Because how far is Tropicana Field from you?
I can almost see it from my condo. So, yeah, I'm literally 10 minutes away from the Trop. It's not the first time that this building has been called the Thunderdome, and you may remember this, Yosef. That when the Tampa Bay Lightning played in the building from 1993 to 1996, that building was then called the Thunderdome, and it was not called what the actual name of the dome was, which was the Florida Suncoast Dome. They called it the Thunderdome, and it hosted at the time the largest crowd to ever watch an NHL playoff game when the Lightning took on the New Jersey Devils, and they had 45,000 people in that building.
And don't forget, people don't know, and Steve, since you're bringing hockey in this, we're talking wrestling, you're bringing hockey, but anyways, Manon Rion,
yes,
played, the lady, played for the Tampa Bay Lightning there.
Yep. What,
because I'm going to reveal something right now. We're in talks with Manon Rion to have our own show on the Her Network.
Nice.
Good for her. Good for you.
Nice.
Manon, just a wonderful woman, a hell of a goaltender, great athlete, and her son, also a goaltender, Dylan St. Cyr, who is a goalie at the University of Michigan. So, you know, the goaltending runs in the family.
I feel like you just aged just a lot here, because I remember Manon Rion, I remember Pascal Rion when he played for the Devils, and now you're like, well, you know, the son at this point is playing college in college. I think you just dated us all just now with that. Thank you, Steve.
We're all very old. Get off my lawn.
Bad damn kids.
All right. So the WWE bringing their programming to Tropicana Field.
Yep.
Beginning December 11th. Now, Steve, nice. Did you hear anything, what it's going to consist of? Because right now they're at Thunderdome, Amway Center in Orlando, but they have to move because Orlando Magic's going to play here in about a couple weeks. Okay. So how long is the WWE going to be at Tropicana Field? I assume till WrestleMania time, March, because, you know, Tampa Bay Rays, defending American League champions, it's their home.
It is their home, but remember that this year or this upcoming season in 2021, the Tampa Bay Rays are starting the season on the road. So they go on the road, starting on April the 1st, they have Miami, and then they don't start again at the Tropicana Fields until I want to say either April 7th or 8th. Actually, it's later than that. So as I take a look here, April 9th is when they open at Tropicana Field against the New York Yankees. So they have plenty of time. That's after WrestleMania. So you can actually get the Raw after WrestleMania, probably, as long as there are no fans, you know, and who knows what'll happen at that point. You know, if there's vaccines, I know that the plan, you know, for Raymond James Stadium is to have fans for the Super Bowl. I mean, we've got fans for the NFL. They're going to have fans for the Super Bowl. It would not surprise me if the WWE does. And, you know, there have been all the rumors that WrestleMania is going to be in Tampa this year after being moved to the Performance Center.
Hold on, Steve. Come on. There are rumors. Wait a minute. I confirmed this report that it's going to be put. You know what, Steve? I'll even tell you. December 8th, look for the WWE to make an announcement regarding WrestleMania coming to Tampa at Raymond James Stadium, December 8th.
Are they going
to
play the Weekend song again? Ooh. With everything that's going on here, it wouldn't surprise me that they're going to have fans for WrestleMania at Raymond James Stadium, and then you go back to the Thunderdome one final time, and maybe that's the point where they make the decision that they're going to start touring again. That's the the one question is, and I know I've seen the stories about how, you know, Vince McMahon is now saying that there's going to be no more house shows, but you're still going to have to, you're still going to have to tour for television. And it wouldn't surprise me if they start touring after WrestleMania, especially if we get to a point where, you know, most states are looking at trying to open things up again.
All right, Steve, let me ask you this. If I get you a media pass, are you going to be a major contributor since it's 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away from the Trop? Yeah, are you ready to say Steve Carney reporting for Barnburner? I'll replace Giancarlo Aulino with you.
You don't want to replace Giancarlo Aulino. He works so hard. And to have a young strapping lad like Mr. Aulino get replaced by this old coot. Who knows what's going to happen in that time frame? I could get hit by a bus tomorrow.
No, you can't. Don't do that. Come on, Steve. All right. So let's forget about wrestling. Survivor Series this weekend. Just forget about it. And Undertaker. Wait. I'll ask Scott. Okay, Scott, you're not a known wrestling fan, but the Undertaker turns 30 wrestling wise, and sort of retires this Sunday. Give me your favorite Undertaker memory. By the way, Steve, if you don't know who Scott is, he's the stunt double for the Undertaker.
I am, yes, actually. Yeah, you can see how much we look alike here, you know?
Yeah.
But, I think he's saying you look tired.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can see it right here. You know, right there. So, yeah. Yeah, we're sort of close to the same weight, maybe a little bit different height, though. In my case, I grew up in 80s, you know, WWF kid. So when I was, you know, when it was obviously, it was, okay, Hulk Hogan, you know, Andre the Giant, Iron Sheik, all of those ones. Basically, if it was somebody who was in a Cyndi Lauper video, that was my era. So I remember when he kind of came in right at the very, very beginning. You know, I mean, I remember WrestleMania 7. I was 15, 16, I guess, something like that. You know, and I remember him beating Jimmy Snuka. So it was, that's arguably probably one of my best memories was seeing him right up front, because he had such an awesome look back in that day, you know, because they're in that era in the early 90s. Me, I kind of had that weird, like, goth thing going on myself a little bit, you know, so I kind of related to that.
Really. Scott was listening to Bauhaus and The Cure and painting his nails.
Oh, my. Well, no, I never painted my nails. I always chew them to this day. I still do. But, yeah, but that was kind of my thing, you know. That's how it was. So for me, for Undertaker, I mean, again, I said it before, 30 years. I mean, it feels so, it doesn't feel like it's been that long. You know, it feels like it is fairly recent. It still feels like, you know, because these memories are so vivid in my head that it feels like 10 years ago, fine, not 30. So, you know what? I applaud him for a great career. I applaud him for everything he's been able to do. You know, that is a tough field. That is a tough industry, you know, and obviously a lot of these guys come out of it with more permanent injuries that you don't always know about. So props for him for a great, amazing career.
All right. We're going to continue on for one thing about wrestling here. I got to give kudos. By the way, you know where I'm going. Becky Lynch is due in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Renee Paquette, I'm not going to say her wrestling name, Renee Young, but Renee Paquette has just announced she is pregnant.
Or her husband announced that she was pregnant in a promo on AEW.
That's pretty good.
Which is great, by the way.
Pretty good there. But Steve, I'm distraught. I got to console my future wife, Mandy Rose. When is somebody going to call out Nia Jax? When is somebody, third year in a row, she injures somebody prior to Survivor Series? Now, Steve, I'm going to say this, okay? Nia Jax, look at me right now. If you injure anybody else, especially the God's greatest creation, myself, God's greatest creation, you'll have to deal with Steve Carney, all right? You're going to have to deal with Steve Carney. Steve, you have been put through the tables all the time and like Lana, right?
Yeah. The good thing is that, you know, I know Nia pretty well, and I don't think she would want to put me through a table. At least I hope she wouldn't, but you never know.
You are incorrect.
She wants to put her through a table?
loves me.
No, you know who loves me? Mandy Rose. All right. Mandy Rose loves me. All right, Steve. Now, we talked about a lot of stuff, okay? But did you know he is a stunt double, and he also appeared on America's Got Talent, okay? That's Scott, all right?
There's me with Nia Jax.
Yeah, all right, cool.
There's you with Nia Jax. That was before Nia Jax put everybody through the table. That was before she grew out hair and everything like that. Nia Jax is a sweetheart, honestly. Nia Jax.
She's the best.
She's a sweetheart, and I love the character that she's playing with Shayna Baszler and all that. But, Steve, you participated and wanted to go to Jeopardy, right?
Yes.
This guy was on America's Got Talent. Now, Scott, show Steve what you did for America's Got Talent, because here, we're going to reveal this. Now, starting
very soon. Yeah,
Well, see, okay, since you showed your picture, I guess you showed me yours, I'll show you mine.
Hey-o.
So there's basically, well, screenshot of AGT back in the day, 5 years back.
So, okay. Yeah, I got it.
So basically, it was a one and done. He is more excited about it, I think, than I am, to be honest. But hey, I'm happy with it anyway.
You're on the Barn Burner TV network. Now, are you giving me the finger?
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead.
I almost need. I should have worn my white T-shirt then to make.
But yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate. I've had a couple of odd quirks in my professional career, so that just happens to be one of them.
All right, Steve. We talked about wrestling. We talked about football, baseball. Anything happen that you want to talk about with anything in Major League Baseball? The winter meetings coming up. Blue Jays appear to be. They said they're going to be active. What do you expect from the Tampa Bay Rays?
You know, I'm kind of curious. The deadline is coming up for putting players on your 40-man roster to keep them from being exposed in the Rule 5 draft. The Rays have a number of guys that need to be put on the roster, or else. They get exposed to the Rule 5 draft. So they've got some moves that they still have to make. Plus, they still don't have any catchers with Mike Zunino, now a free agent. Michael Perez was put on waivers and claimed by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Kevin Smith was a free agent. Those were the three catchers that they used this year, and none of them are with the team right now. Would not be surprised if Zunino is brought back at a lesser rate, but they're going to have to make some more moves in order to. I think they've got two or three guys that they're going to have to try and protect from the Rule 5 draft, and that's two or three spots that right now they don't have. My question is going to be to you, Joe, is how much do you think Trevor Bauer is looking to get? Because, he, of course, is probably number one, or if you're a Yankees fan, 1A, because I think for the Yankees fans, it's probably re-signed DJ LeMahieu. But, I'm curious to your thoughts as to what do you think Trevor Bauer ends up with?
Well, I don't think he ends up here in the Blue Jays. They want him, but I think the smarter move for the Blue Jays will go after Springer. They need a center fielder who can hit. You could plug him in as center fielder first, batting first in the order, then put, line up 1 through 9, get stronger and all that. Do they want pitching? Yes. But are you going to pay $30 million? Let's say $35 million a year to Trevor Bauer. If you were that, Steve, if he wanted, okay, $30 million, I'll come. Do you sign him?
No, I don't think that you're looking. I don't think that the Blue Jays need to spend the money on Trevor Bauer that they could use. $35 million for one guy. I mean, you could end up with like three or four very, very good players for the $35 million that Trevor Bauer wants. And I think that the team that would not surprise me if that they need pitching more than anything is the Los Angeles Angels. Mm-hmm. They've spent all that money on Mike Trout and on Anthony Rendon, you know, hitting wise. They got no pitching, and it would not surprise me if their owner Artie Moreno and their new general manager decide, you know, maybe that might be the move to make, is to go out and get a guy like, because their new general manager is an analytics guy coming from Atlanta, working with Alex Anthopoulos, a guy that you know very well. And of course, their manager is Joe Maddon. Joe Cool, he's one of the most laid back guys out there, and I think Trevor Bauer would work well with Joe Maddon.
Not to mention the fact that also Trevor Bauer is from California.
Yeah.
So I think adding to that to the mix, yeah, I don't see him going to, personally, I don't see him going to the Yankees. I don't see it, you know, following the team up here. He's got a massive rift with Gerrit Cole. You know, the Yankees have a fair number of patches that they have to do.
No, and they need DJ LeMahieu.
They do.
They need to re-sign DJ LeMahieu.
The problem with the Yankees this year was they were so reliant on the long ball that DJ LeMahieu was what offset that at least a little bit, you know. And I think if they here in New York, DJ LeMahieu was that close to going to Tampa. The Yankees pulled it out of the last minute 2 years ago. If they let him go, there's going to be riots over here because the numbers that he put up, I see him absolutely coming back at this point. But I think, honestly, for me, as a Yankee fan for a lot of years, I don't see them overtaking the Rays. I think the Rays are a better built team. And I said this to Joe like 2 months ago, that as much as I want the Yankees to win, I did predict, you know, the Rays were going to be able to take this in the long run because the Yankees are too reliant on the home run ball.
Yeah, I mean, Luke Voit and Luke Voit, you know, going through and, you know, 22 homers in 60 games is great. I don't have a Baseball Writers Association vote. You know, I don't have a vote for MVP or Cy Young or Rookie of the Year, but I do an article every year saying, you know, I don't have a vote, but if I did, here's what my ballot would look like. Mm-hmm. And the guy who I had at the top of my MVP vote this year was DJ LeMahieu, even though, you know, Abreu had a great year. Jose Ramirez had an incredible September, and Luke Voit hit 22 homers. I went and looked, and it was like, okay, he led the league in batting average. He was second in slugging and OPS and he led in batting average, slugging, OPS, and he was second in on-base percentage. He was second in hits, and he was third or fourth in runs scored. But here's the thing that I said put it over the edge. LeMahieu missed 9 games with the Yankees this year. He had one stint on the injured list. He missed 9 games. The Yankees went 2-7 in those games.
Yep. It's not always about the best player. It's the most valuable player to your team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like I said, that offsets the long ball aspect of it.
Pretty valuable.
Yeah. I don't see the Yankees getting Trevor Bauer. Like I said, I see him going west. I see them re-signing Tanaka for maybe like a 3-year deal is what I'm feeling right there. That Gerrit Cole deal is going to be an albatross and a half, you know, later on. I see his arm breaking down. I think year 6, 7, 8, 9, that's going to be a brutally bad contract. But it's the Yankees, so they just print money anyway.
Yeah, they just throw bad money after good anyway.
Yeah, this is the
or
same.
Or good money after bad, whatever.
This is the same thing, yeah. That team has won one World Series right now in the last 19 years, despite having a payroll that hovers around $200 million on average. And it's, as a Yankee fan here, it's all about a lot of times a splash on the back pages because they have the rivalry with the Mets, and they have to show the Mets that they're the better team. Now, the Mets caught a gift and a half. They are going to have to send Robbie Cano a gift for Christmas because of the fact that he, you know, came out with the PED for the second time. He's going to save the Mets $24 million. And with no DH in the NL next year, that means that he does not have to be a position player to play. The Mets, honestly, they got to send him a thank you card, you know, for Christmas. I really do.
Now I had heard that Marcus Stroman initially was not going to take the qualifying offer. He ends up taking
the qualifying offer
there, and will be back in New York next year, which I thought a lot of people thought he wasn't going to take the qualifying offer, and the Mets would have been, you know, another Brody Van Wagenen special where you got, you know, six or 12 innings out of out of Marcus Stroman over the course of 2 years. And then he goes and he becomes a free agent.
I got news about Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman, you're right. He wasn't going to, because he called the Blue Jays to see if they would match or to go a little bit above. That they have no interest in him.
Yeah, and not a surprise. So I was kind of surprised that he did take the qualifying offer. Here's a name that I think Mets fans better get acquainted with, because I think he may end up in Queens as well, and that's Chris Archer. Archer coming off of a couple of disappointing years or a disappointing year and a half with the Pirates. Did not play this past year because he had thoracic outlet surgery and missed the entire year. Was bought out by the Pirates. He's going to be looking to try and reestablish himself. He's very good friends with Marcus Stroman, and it would not surprise me to see those two try and get something done, because I think that Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen are going to be able to get him for probably a pretty good number there. He's going to be a bargain this year, and I think that if he's healthy, Chris Archer could provide some very important innings for the Mets.
So it's similar to what you saw with Rick Porcello.
Yes.
It's a chance to prove yourself kind of a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it. That actually would be a really good matchup there. Citi Field is a pitcher's ballpark. I think that'll help a little bit there too with the numbers. But in this case up here, the fact that the Mets came as close as they did, if Stroman had not opted out, I think they could have made the playoffs this year under the system. So a lot of Mets fans are salty for the fact that he did opt out, but shocked, like you said. I mean, none of us expected him to take that qualifying offer. You know, the fact that he did blew us all away on that.
And closing here, Steve, I'll ask you, Trevor Bauer, even if the Blue Jays want to give him 25, 30 mil, is he even better than Ryu? Because for me, Ryu is better than Bauer.
No, Bauer is really, really good. He's really good, Joe. He's better than Ryu. I think Bauer is better than Ryu, but Ryu being a left-hander, I think provides something that the Blue Jays needed. They needed a left-handed ace, especially because of all of the left-handed bats that are in the American League East. So while I do think that Bauer is better than Ryu, I think that Ryu is in a better situation.
I think also something to add with Bauer is the fact that you have to handle his social media personality.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's great. I love reading his stuff. But I mean, a bigger market can handle that, I think, a little bit better. You know, so out west, we talked about, you know, the Angels, LA, San Diego is in there. I mean, they're talking about that. I could see that even happening.
Not after what they did today with Mike Clevinger, 2 years, $22 million. You know, Clevinger's not going to pitch next year because he's going to have Tommy John surgery. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to do that with Clevinger and then add Bauer as well, especially because you look at the deals that they already have, you know, the Hosmer deal, the Will Myers deal, which they were trying to get out of last year. And I think they're going to try even harder this offseason to try and unload Will Myers. The Machado deal. I think that, you know, they've got a lot of big contracts. I don't know if that market can handle another gigantic deal, another gigantic contract with Trevor Bauer.
All right, Steve, as we close it out, before an Bellator 253 today, a note here that Jason Jackson defeated Benson Henderson via unanimous decision. Is this the end for Benson Henderson?
I think if it's not the end for Benson Henderson, it's got to be close. Benson Henderson, unfortunately, has not been a real draw in MMA now for 5 or 6 years, ever since he left the UFC to go to Bellator. You know, I haven't watched a single Benson Henderson fight since he left. And so, and I love Smooth. You know, I've known Smooth now, God, close to 14 years. I mean, I was watching him in WEC, the fights that he had with Cowboy Cerrone in WEC are legendary. And so to see that, you know, he's in the downward trend, and you would have to think that if this isn't the end for Henderson, it's got to be close.
All right, as you could see, we're joined by Elizabeth Rostestan. But Steve, before you leave, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Yeah, you can follow me on social media @Steve Carney on Twitter and on Instagram, and you can catch me on Maybe news to come.
News to come. Wow. I think you need a barn burner mic flash. Anyways,
I was gonna say, do you notice something is missing this week?
Yes, I need you need a new mic flash. Put it that way. All right,
the mic flag is gone, and the mic flag is gone for a reason.
I wasn't gonna say that, Steve. All right, Scott Churchson, go ahead. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
All right, I'm real easy. My name is Scott Churchson, son of a church, CHURCHSON. I'm the only Scott Churchson in the country, so it's real easy to find me, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. You can also find me on the Barn Burner Sports Network on the Sports Den, Tuesday afternoons, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, right on the Barn Burner Sports Network and Zingo TV. And then starting in December 1st, we have a show called Me Out called Tales from the Film Set, which myself and a couple other hosts will cover the 10-plus years that we've had working with Inside Hollywood's, are the stories that we had, are the actors that we've dealt with, the good, the bad, and the funny, frankly. So that's going to be coming up December 1st. But otherwise, in the meantime, Sports Den on Tuesdays at 4 p.m.
All right, Steve and Scott, happy early Thanksgiving.
You too.
I'll give you the guys the week off next week, okay, Steve?
Thank you, bro, Seth.
Thank you, dude.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, Steve and Scott. Now,
be awesome, Elizabeth.